But I just want to take 10 minutes, if that's okay with you, to go back to a book. And this is, again, what interests me. A book, you know, if I ask even children, name a book that does not contain the name of God, many of you will know the answer to that, right? God's name is not even mentioned in a book of the Bible. But the beauty is you can see the tremendous hand of God at work, even in a book of the Bible where God is not named. Any of the younger ones who want to suggest what that book is? I'm referring to the book of Esther. You read through all the chapters of Esther, the name of God is not mentioned, but you see the mighty hand of God at work, whether you talk of the nation of Israel, you talk of an individual family, like you take Mordecai and his... I always grew up thinking he was, she was a niece or something. Actually, they're cousins. And if you think of Mordecai's life and the way God used Mordecai to bring salvation to a whole nation, it's amazing, the hand of God. And that's the book I really wanted to look at, not the whole book, but just a few things. One I wanted to talk about was Mordecai. And there's I haven't heard too many messages on Mordecai. So as I read through the book a few times, I realized that Mordecai is such a great example. Firstly, just in looking at his passion for God's people, obviously, you know, it's very clearly there. But also his raising up of Esther. When you kind of think of that, it's very interesting. If you look at chapter 1, verse 11, you'll find Queen Vashti being deposed because she refused to come and exhibit her beauty before the other men. And you look at there, Vashti is referred to as beautiful. But then you look at Esther in chapter 2 and verse 7, you'll find another beautiful statement there, that Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. When her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Now, this is very interesting, and we could spend a lot of time thinking of that. If you had this kind of a story in today's society, you could write it in 100 different ways with the most sordid of things that can happen. And we see that all the time in the news. Look at this man of God who decides to show compassion to his own much younger cousin, takes her in as his own daughter, and the way he cherishes, the way he nourishes and brings her up to a point where she is so lovely and beautiful. And I read something into lovely and beautiful. You know what that is? It's more than the externals. Because you look into Queen Esther's life, you find anybody that she met with, she found favor with. Even the prince of the eunuchs and all. Why is that? There was the beauty that we read of in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, and the inner beauty. It was not just her externals, because we know Vashti was beautiful, right? We knew that all the virgins of the land who were beautiful were brought in, but the king and the eunuchs, those who looked after her, found her extremely what? Beautiful and lovely. Don't have time to get into expanding that. But if you look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and 3, I don't have much background to say this from the book of Esther, but my belief is from what I'm reading through the whole chapter, that there was much more than the externals which Peter talks of here, that there was inward adornment. There was a beauty of spirit and nature that attracted the king and all the other people. And that's how she won that beauty contest, right? There have been only a few beauty contests in the Bible. But even God can use a beauty contest to further his plans. That's another new thought as I was kind of asking my wife what she thought was the most interesting thing about Esther. One of the points she said, well, God can use even a beauty contest, a beauty to fulfill his purposes, right? And that is what we see here. So quick passing that her beauty was really more than the externals. And that's something that we are exhorted today, men and women, the inner man, the beauty of this God working in your life is what is most important. And then, of course, to end, I want to say that obviously Esther found favor and becomes the most important next to the king. Becoming the queen has had a very key position there, which Mordecai, of course, used. And here's another interesting thing to think of. Mordecai, who cherishes and loves Esther like his own daughter, has brought her up in such a way that when the need came for God's people, he knew that Esther went before the king without permission. I don't have time to read those verses. She could die. And Esther clearly told him that. If you read chapter 4, if you expect me to go there, I could perish. Even though he loved Esther so much, he was willing to allow her to undergo that risk. Why? Only because of his passion for God's people. It was not about his family. And that's where I feel challenged too, because sometimes we're all about our family, which is not a bad thing, it's the right thing to do. But don't make it so exclusive that you even push out the people of God in your attempt to be your family. That's selfishness. And I don't have time to talk about it. It is his passion for God's people that allowed him to risk Esther's life. Not that he did not love Esther. He loved her deeply. If you look at one verse there, he's pacing up and down while the beauty contest is going on to find what happened to her. Every day he would go and pace up and down to know what's happening to his daughter, right? Like any father, right? And he is this point when the nation of Israel, the whole Jews, are going to be exterminated. At that point, he is in sackcloth and ashes crying out to God. And he sees why God placed, even he, I don't think he placed Esther there in order to, you know, win this battle with Haman. God placed her for a purpose. And that's where I want to end by referring to that verse, which is so precious and important for all of us. We don't in our lives get opportunities to become kings or queens, but we all have positions of influence. Wherever we are, in our families, in our workplaces, we have positions of influence. And here, this is the exchange between Mordecai and Esther. When Esther, I just referred to this, we'll read chapter 4, verse 11. All the king's servants, this is Esther's words, all the king's servants and all the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law: put all to death except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called, meaning as queen, she has not been called to go into the king these past 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Very powerful words, because he is reminding Esther of why God has placed you there, right? God has placed each of us in different positions in life, and we get comfortable with all the blessings, all the good things. She enjoyed the position of queen. She enjoyed the palace. She enjoyed all of that. But there comes a time when all those privileges have a responsibility attached to it. And that's something that's so critical. We all have blessings. We all have privileges. There's responsibility usually attached to it. Take many of you younger couples who are married, right? It's a great privilege to be married, but there's some definite responsibilities that go with it. And what the world teaches is, well, enjoy the privileges, shirk the responsibilities. What do you have? A very imbalanced life, cracking up in many directions. Why does that happen? Because people are not willing to take on the responsibility that comes with the privilege. As believers, we have been granted great privileges and blessings, but it goes with responsibility. And that's what he was challenging Esther. Remember why you've been placed there. And I don't know what it is for all of us, but each of us, as we walk with God and ask God these questions, will get definite answers. And I believe I found one recently, as I've been exposed to the believers in Mexico, as I've been exposed to some of these people, simple people, not sophisticated, not educated. One thing, passion for God's people and God's work is so, it's actually attractive. But you actually spend time with them. You know, the guy doesn't have change in his pocket to jingle. I mean, he doesn't have his next meal. He's happy. He's rejoicing. He's happy. I have enough and more, and look at me. I mean, you see that contrast right there. We are never content with all that we have. They're content despite all that they don't have. How do you explain that? Nothing but the joy of the Lord. They experience the joy of the Lord on a daily basis. They're working for God. They're enjoying it. And I'm not saying that this doesn't exist anywhere else, but I'm saying when we contrast some of our societies or the assembly circles even that we're in, you see there are others who are doing it differently. And my question has always been, why, God, are they different? Well, I think their whole attitude, their whole approach has been different from mine. And that's been challenging for me, and really want to learn more by going and spending more time with these people. And I'll end by saying this. I've crossed over into the 60s club a little while ago. You don't have to wait to get into the 60s club to get out to do that. Now I feel I wish I'd gone earlier, because there's so many things I've missed out on. And I would encourage anybody, and it was interesting, I was at the Indian Brethren Conference in Indiana just a few weeks ago, and one of the brothers said that there are even scholarships available for people who want to go. The Gospel Mission of India, which many of you know, supports work in India, they've got scholarships for people who want to go. And I always encourage, as I'm in a university student, so I have very few Christian students, but once I get to know them, I always encourage them, step a little out of your pond and go and see the big wide world. Because when you see that, you see life as it really is. We've been so blessed in North America that we really have no idea what real life is. We hear these stories of people, etc. Even in the news, I sometimes don't look. It's sensational. It doesn't affect me one bit. It's so sensational, but I'm not there, right? I don't have the heat. I don't get the pain. I don't have any of the angst. You read it and say, how sad or how terrible. Make a comment, discuss it for the lunch hour and, you know, keep talking about it. It doesn't impact us at all, because it's another talking piece. It isn't life. If you really want to experience, I think, you know, whether it be Mexico or Costa Rica, it was a nice place to visit as well, but I don't mean for tourism, but actually get out there and experience it is what I'm telling myself, so that God will teach me more. And I wish the same for as many of you who have an interest in the things of God. Other places, I'm not saying Austin is a great place, I know that, but I mean outside of what we're used to, and I think God will definitely teach each of us something. So I would like to end my words and just request your prayers. I really appreciate you giving me this chance to go away from our usual pattern of focusing on the Word of God. But really, I've shared this because of the burden that God has laid, that I should be doing more in my own personal capacity to be able to fulfill the things of God. And even just to, one other comment I made is, most people will tell you when you go to these places, you're supporting them. And you will be a great encouragement. That's what I was told. You'll be a great encouragement to them. You'll be supporting them. You know what? I went and came back. I was much more encouraged than I think I encouraged anybody. Because it's just what I saw. They didn't have to say anything. Just watch them. So I think request your prayers. We continue to pray for Austin Bible Chapel, that God will continue to work His plans and purposes for all of you here. We still do remember you as we come occasionally. And we'll continue to pray for you. And do pray for us as well.